This is a segment here that we're devoting to the 25th season of Major League Soccer, and we've all seen things change quite dramatically. Tonight, a great guest. I would call him a personal friend, too. We'll see if he agrees with that. He is Dave Durr, the former coach of the Dallas Burn. Dave, thank you for coming on.
Well, I'll be glad to admit that, Glenn. Personal friend, I definitely can swing that way.
Well, you just did it in public, so, you know, it's on record now. So, anyway. But the first thing...
Too much history not to be friends, sir.
Yeah, no. Those were great times. So the first thing I'm going to say to you is, and just give you a general question here, did you ever think the growth would get to where it is now with infrastructure investment? Is this still something you kind of shake your head at and go, wow, this is incredible. The league has doubled in size. It continues to grow. Infrastructure investment, on and on.
Yeah, I think I probably have to answer that in two ways. I mean, I was always a big believer in the game making great strides in this country. And when we were first in the league, I thought it would happen faster. And then I've been not only pleasantly surprised, but just, you know, the movement that the league has made and really investing in the game. I think at the beginning they were kind of playing show me the money and then we'll make the investment. And I think now they've taken much more risk and are willing to do more grandiose things, which I think has made the league take off. And I think there's really no end in sight. I think it's one of the most exciting professional sports there is out there as far as growth and where it has to go.
Talking to Dave Durr, was the coach of the Dallas Burn from 94 to 2000. He won a Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup there over D.C. United. And this was back in the days of the Cotton Bowl. And I want you to take me back to the Cotton Bowl and you know, just the wonderful environment that was down there, because that's where I was cutting my teeth as a broadcaster. And there was just a wonderful sort of festive, fun feel. And there certainly was a ton of Hispanic support for the Dallas Burn back then.
Absolutely. And I think really that was something that Billy Hicks, the former general manager at the Burn, he really prided himself on getting into the Hispanic community. And of course, the location of the Cotton Bowl, there wasn't a better playing surface in the league, and the location was really perfect for the Hispanic community. In fact, the fact that they didn't hire a Hispanic coach surprised me, but we ended up getting very close in that community, and it's something that I was a big believer in. I loved the South American game and the Latin game, and so I was very proud to coach there, and it was just a great community experience, really. Back then, you know, not everybody had their own stadium, so we had one of the best venues that there was in the league.
Talking to Dave Durr, former coach of the Dallas Burn, this is a part of a segment that we're going to continue to do about the 25th season of Major League Soccer. So if you look at MLS now, Pulido with Sporting Kansas City, Pizarro now down at Inter Miami under Diego Alonso, Chicharito in L.A., Vela with LAFC. Now, you were one of the first coaches to really coach in MLS what is a legendary Mexican star, the legendary Mexican star at the time, Hugo Sanchez. So you were a young coach at this time, no question about it. What was it like coaching Hugo, and how did you approach that, knowing, you know, that you're coaching a guy who was a legendary goal scorer in Spain with Real Madrid?
Well, you know, it was a great challenge and a great honor, to be honest. And he had a reputation of being I'll just be nice and say difficult to deal with in locker rooms and in the media. So we didn't really know what to expect when Hugo came in. And I'll tell you a quick story. Coach Cordoba, who was my assistant coach, and I, Hugo came in about 8 games into the season, and we were actually playing very well. And I think we had like a 6-2 record. Hugo decided to take an extra week's vacation and come in the day before the first match. And so we decided not to start Hugo, which I'm sure you can understand in the Spanish media was not a popular decision at the gate. But we had a talk with Hugo and just said, you know, that this team's playing well, and if we want to keep the respect from our players, we've got to do what's right for the team, because he hadn't even trained with the team. And I just remember having to tell him that in person. We went and met him at his hotel. You know, our guys would usually stay at the you know, Holiday Inn, and he stayed at the Grand Kapitsky, which just showed you the difference between his level of player and what we had coming in usually. But it was a great experience, and he always respected us, I think, for making that decision. And actually came out when he was the coach in Mexico after his playing career, and was very respectful about how he spoke about Cacho and I. So I had nothing but the greatest respect for his professionalism. He always treated me first class. So, you know, my experience wasn't the same as what I had heard before he came in.
Talking to Dave Durr, I would say that was a masterstroke, because if you had just let him come in and played, it would have been potentially deemed as a real pander to him. And maybe he thinks, you know, I can do anything I want now. And you kind of drew the line there.
Well, I was always kind of a player's manager, whatever that means to people. But I think that it was more important to me, the other players. And if we would have played him, you know, when he hadn't trained and when we were playing well, it would have meant he had a different set of rules than the rest of our team. And that's not a way that you want to have in the locker room with the rest of the team, as you know.
Dave Durr, we'll be going back to Dallas. You are going to, I don't know if you know this, but I think you know this. You do know you're going back to Dallas to celebrate the 25th season. But do you know that you're scarving the Lamar Hunt statue that's outside the stadium?
I do know that.
Okay.
You know, I think I'm actually taking a penalty kick at halftime as well. So I don't think they realize
that
I have 14 knee surgeries, but that's going to be funny. But yeah, I'm pretty excited about it, actually. And it was a very, very kind and special gesture to both me and my wife that they brought us back in for that event. We're pretty excited about it.
Dave Durr joining us here. Now, there's another part of your career I want to tap into, and that's the APSL and the Colorado Foxes, which in 91 to 94, that's really the top pro league in the United States. You win two titles there, and then a lot of those guys end up in Major League Soccer. So, again, it kind of emphasizes how important some of these leagues were, you know, that kept trying and, you know, had its problems and, you know, paychecks would bounce. You know, trust me, I've had a few experiences with that in the 80s. But the fact that people kept trying was a good thing. And that Colorado Foxes era was a good one with a lot of good name players.
It really was. And it was a special group. And as you said, I think the proof of that was really how many of those players ended up playing and actually being stalwarts in MLS. You know, one of the things I'm most proud of is that from my Burn teams, there's eight guys coaching in the MLS ranks or as acting as general managers right now. A lot of those guys even came from the Foxes days. And so, you know, I had brought Ted Eck and Brian Ains and Mark Santel to those Burn teams from the Foxes. And they were stars on those Burn teams. So it was a good bunch. And back then the league was so consolidated that between us, the old San Francisco Bay Blackhawks and the Tampa Bay Rowdies, it was basically the national team. And we had Balboa and Robin Fraser and Ted Eck and guys that were, you know, San Francisco had Eric Winalda. There was a lot of national team names playing on those three teams, and they were always vying for championships.
Yeah, not a lot of choices back then. All right, so when you look at Major League Soccer this year and sort of the quality of play in comparison to 96, how do you compare it?
Wow, that's a tough one. I've been asked that actually a lot of times. I'm not sure I have a great answer. I think there are parts of those 96 teams that were really special and the top teams I think could compete in almost any era. But the players are quicker, faster, smarter. There's more youth in the game right now, which I think is awesome. They're acquiring better international players that are more in their prime. So I think that's an important part of how the league's improved, and the standard is much higher. And of course, now there's a lot more teams, so there's probably a bigger gap from first to last than there used to be, but there's also more top teams. So you have those competitive games, and then you have to add that MLS is now, you know, starting to compete in Champions League and doing some things with the interleague play between Liga MX that are just creating better competition for those players, and they're improving with that. So I think the product's better. I'll say the coaching's better, even though I have to say that with kind of choke myself a little because I thought the coaches were fantastic in our era. But, you know, we had to deal with a lot different adversity than they have to deal with now.
Talking to Dave Durr, last question before I let you go, Dave. And, of course, you've been involved with player development throughout. You were an assistant coach on the under-20 national team. You're still involved in player development now with the Associated Soccer Group. You are a co-host of the Soccer Guys show that's out of Florida and is podcasted with Andy Warner. Are you concerned for the American player in this league from the standpoint of all the investment that's being made in young foreign players? Does the needle need to move a little bit back towards the American player, or are you okay with where it is right now?
Well, I'm never okay with where it is because there's always ways to get better. You know that. And I think that I am concerned that, you know, where the development of our American players come in. Saying that, I think that, you know, there's a natural evolution to this league, just like any league, and you got to remember how young this league is compared to other countries. So I think you saw a point in other countries where they started forcing a certain number of under 23s on the roster from their country to improve their national pool. I think those are next steps, you know, just as one example of this league that are going to have to happen as the league grows. I think the quality of the league is most paramount right now to improve. Proving, you know, the fan base and what people enjoy. But there's going to be a point in time where there has to be a push for the American player in an American domestic league. And I think that that's going to happen, hopefully in my lifetime, but I'm thinking it's going to happen pretty soon.
Dave, thank you so much for your time. By the way, send me video of that penalty kick. I'd like to post that out to the world once that's done.
Well, hopefully I don't go to the hospital right after that.
Congratulations on the honor. It's well-deserved, and I thank you for coming on the program.
Appreciate you having me on.